And the microphone is yours. And Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, everyone. It is a great pleasure to hear Daya Gauranga talking so nicely and ushering us into this seminar. I had just a few minutes ago a discussion with him and the other host, Yashoda Dulal, and I felt something which I would like to share with you. I felt that as we are connecting on these very deep subjects, we actually develop a connection that is going like a thread through our hearts to the hearts of another participant, and in this way we actually do form a circle, maybe around the globe. I do not know how if that could be graphically portrayed. But we do form a circle in the virtual world, but also the real world, in which we are strengthened, inspired, and guided also. So my initial request to do something like this and form a circle, not only between the five temples who are participating, but between all the other participants. This initial request has been really nicely fulfilled by all of you. So today, I will now bring you into the second session of A Life in Bhakti. And here, we will become very, very practical. But I would like to repeat the core and essential teaching which we had in the first session, so that I take everyone on board who was not there. And I also will take everyone on board who jumped off the board in the last week, so that we can all be in one understanding and move forward. Last time, I told you about bhakti being a spiral that comes again and again to the same point, let us say this plant here, but the circle of the spiral is becoming bigger. In other words, we learn things that we may have heard about, but we learn them from or understand them with a wider perspective, like the widening circles of the spiral. The idea which gives us this perspective, the spiral model, is really the idea of the sacred space. It means that we perform our activities from the level of consciousness, from the level of awareness, from the level of heightened connection with Krishna, and in this way have an entirely different result than we had before. I would like to give you an example of this which will become clearer and clearer as we go on. Today I was going from where I stay to Berlin. I have a few engagements today here in the big town, and I noticed as we were driving down the highway, the Autobahn, there was a lot of, there were many cars coming from the opposite direction. They all want to make holidays in the Eastern Sea. So all these tourists came down the other way, and also our lanes were very full, and I still needed to work towards fulfilling my quota of chanting, and I was chanting, but I was distracted by the cars, the unusual amount of traffic, and could not really say that I was really chanting. Then I said, stop. This is not spiritual practice. And I did what I will teach you more and more here in this retreat, in this seminar. I brought my attention to that place in which all spiritual realizations take place, that is the heart, and invited Krishna there, and chanted in a relationship to Krishna. All of a sudden I noticed, wow, I'm focused. I'm not diverted in my attention. I then stopped it and did some other work in the car because I had some work to do. But this conscious stepping back and going into the heart and thinking about my relationship with Krishna. After all, I'm chanting his name. This is something very personal. That brought an entire shift of the mind together. Our mind, says Vyasadev, tends to operate in five modi, five ways. And if you do your spiritual activities, but your mind is still busy in these ways, you are actually not connected with your consciousness to the spiritual activity. It's an external activity, and Prabhupada calls it, in the third canto, devotional service can also be a material activity. Bhakti can also be a material activity if you do not come from that space where you are deeply connected, and so on. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about this space. You, Krishna, exist with your entire abode in the temple of the heart, and you can be met. Yes, a meeting can be done with you when the door to the entrance has been unlocked or opened by Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada used to say, I see my spiritual master always within the heart, and I see Krishna within the heart. They are always there. I'm never, ever separated. Once Prabhupada was asked, how can you be so sure? You are telling the academic people that they missed the point. You tell the sociologists, the politicians, that they have not the wide overview. How can you be so sure that there is Krishna? And Prabhupada answered, how can I doubt that there is Krishna when I see him every minute before me? Where do you see Krishna? It is in that heart space. And we will do some meditation. Something will happen to you, and so on. Otherwise, if you're not on that space, you will be in your mind, or as we say, on the mental platform. And Vyasadev has so nicely explained the five basic patterns in which the mind works. It is first restless. The mind is restless, going here and there, distracted. No, restless. Then it is stupefied. You are all knowing English very well. Stupefied means a type of numbness or dullness. I sometimes asked people, what are you thinking at the moment? They say, Maharaj, nothing. That is stupefied. Then the next is distracted. But then, my dear people, pay close attention. The mind has also the function to be one-pointed, fixed, ekha, and it can be completely restrained from material activities. These are the five states of the mind. Pick one. What is best for your bhakti? Is it the restless state? Is it the stupefied state? Is it the constantly, chronically distracted state? No. Bhakti happens when you build your connection with Krishna, when it becomes one-pointed and completely restrained. And therefore, on our level, where we are so often distracted, even while we do our sadhana, it's important. It is most important. It is of supermost importance that while we do our activity, we remember that the Lord resides within our heart. If you just do one thing for the next week, that is to remember that Krishna resides right into your heart. He is not distant. He's very close. You will see. You will have a total different week than you ever had before in your life. Because by just focusing the mind on Krishna in the heart, you will bring it to the one-pointed state of mind. Jiva Goswami says in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheta 304, even if one does not perform any other spiritual activity, one has attained perfection simply if one considers, I belong to the Lord. Just this understanding, Raghava Chaitanya Prabhu, Doyor Goranga, Jamuna Jaya, Bhakti Ratnaka, Diksha, I belong to the Lord. This brings you into a sacred space and you will never be the same. Sometimes people ask me, Maharaj, why do you smile so much? And what is the secret behind your smile? And I say, simple, I have no worries. I belong to the Lord. Yeah? This simple practice, it's a spiritual practice which comes there in the Anucheta of the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheta 304. My dear devotees, it's a simple point. My dear people, my dear skeptics even, your entire life will change if you come to this connection. There will be immediately a divine reciprocation. So today, building on the first class, we will enter into the first anga of bhakti, the first limb of bhakti. It is sadhu sangha. Our Rupa Goswami describes that these five practices, today the first will come, then in the subsequent sessions we will highlight the others. These five practices have such a power that immediately, as you even slightly touch them, just slightly, little touch, you will be able to develop a special type of bhava. Bhava means an inner mood, an inner orientation, an inner state, and love for Krishna. And this will be our first installment, Sangha. Sang means together, and ga means to go. When you form association or you have sadhu sangha, it means you go together with someone through your life. Now, the way you go together with them will describe the outcome. There's improper sangha, not proper association, and then there is proper association. Sangha means samyak rupena gamanam, to move forward in the proper manner. Let me be very clear. You can have sadhu sangha or association with devotees, and you can go down, 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 down. Let me be more clear. You can have association with devotees, and you will remain for many years on the same platform. And let me be most clear, you can have association with devotees and rise from the ashes, like the phoenix which goes out of the ashes. We know the philosophy. It is very nicely described in the 10th canto. There's a prayer glorifying and highlighting the effects of proper sadhu sangha, of proper association with devotees. The prayer goes like this. O Lord Achyuta, the living entity wanders in the cycle of birth and death. We are wandering, restless soul, homeless souls. From one body to the next we go. Only when the living entity obtains the association of those established in truth does his material existence come to an end. When you have the association with those established in truth, the sadhus, your material life will come to an end. It means it will revolve a little bit like a fan still, but because the fan is not any longer empowered by electricity, slowly your circle of birth and death comes to an end, like the fan which slowly stops when it doesn't get any electricity. But now see what is coming in the association, if you really want, or what happens due to the association, if you really want your material existence to come to an end. From the moment where one has such association, satsanga, a devotional inclination is awakened towards you, Krishna, the supreme goal of all attainments for the sages. In this association, one develops the Sanskrit word used here, is a mati, an inclination towards you, Krishna. We have to stop judging or seeing people according to what they do. We have to see what is their inclination, what is behind what they do, what is their motivation, What is their inner orientation? You can see there are many people who are, have very good devotional associations, but sometimes in our Sangha, in our association of devotees, you can find people who have, who are dressed like this, but their motivation is to get more likes on the Facebook. Their motivation is to become rich, maybe. Their motivation is, the mati is born when you have association with devotees, with good devotees. Then you develop an inclination. And that is what is important. What's the principle here? When we have association, how does this inclination, this devotional inclination come from the heart of the sadhu, the devotee with whom I associate, to my heart? This is expressed by Rupa Goswami so nicely. He says, as the qualities of a nearby object are reflected in a crystal, the quality of a person with whom we associate gets reflected in our hearts. Let me give you an example. I don't have a crystal, but I have a plastic folder. So if I put a pair of cartels, you know, it may not work so well on the computer, but if I would put a pair of cartels before the crystal, then the cartels are all of a sudden, the cartels are this instrument, visible in the crystal. A proper crystal. Do I have a proper crystal here? I have a glass here. Does it? Yes, I can see it. You have association with someone, and his qualities will become reflected in your heart, which is like a mirror or a crystal that reflects what comes before it. That's the principle. That's why we should associate with the happy devotees who are compassionate, because their qualities, all of a sudden, you will see, they are in my heart. It works in various ways. In America, you had a great guitar player called Jimi Hendrix. I don't know if the young people who are now listening know of him. He was quite well known in Europe. And my friend wanted to play like Jimi Hendrix, very creative melodies and solid beat and so on. And I had at one stage association with this friend who wanted to play like Jimi Hendrix. And I remember after 2 weeks being in that friendship, I purchased a guitar. And I told my guitar teacher, I want to play like Jimi Hendrix also. Because the qualities of that other person were coming in my own heart. And therefore, look for the right qualities. Look for the right people, I wanted to say, who can give into your heart the type of qualities which you would like to have. Now, there are three types of sadhu sangha, and different rules are for them. There is the association with teachers, with guides, with saints, with acharyas, from whom we take inspiration and guidance. There is the association with peers. We serve together. Sometimes we live together. Some of you are living in temples. We get purified together. Our hearts get scrubbed in each other's association. We inspire each other. We confide in each other. We share our realization And then there are association with new people whom we try to nourish spiritually, where we try to enrich their lives and help them to grow. I would first now like to speak about the association with our superiors, our teachers. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says you should associate with those who are more advanced than yourself and who are endowed with a similar type of affection. When you come to these teachers, my dear people, it's like approaching fire. When you come to fire, there's light, and that means you can see very nicely. And there is also some warmth. That means you have a lot of hope when you are with these people. That, yes, I can also attain the higher stages of bhakti. Association with teachers is so important, or guides, or devotees who are more advanced than you. Because, sorry, it's not corona, because light will be shed on your path and you will get hope. Oh yes, it's not hopeless. Yes, it's possible. Do you know why this is so? A normal person speaks words. Deeper than the level of words is the level of thoughts. Already, words only give maybe 50% from what a person thinks and has. But the teachers do not speak from the level of words, where they just repeat words. The real teachers do not teach from the level of thoughts, where they have thought about something. But the real teachers, they speak from the level of realization, of something that they have intuited to be true. And that is powerful, like a volcanic burst. When you meet such a real teacher who does not repeat what he has read, who does not speak what he is thinking, his ideas and his thoughts about it, but who has deeply realized something, oh, it gets to you and shapes you. It really polishes your heart. Therefore, to meet such teachers, such superior sadhus, guides, no, acharyas, is of such importance. You know, bhakti cannot be understood by words. Bhakti cannot be understood by thoughts. Bhakti is something very deep. It's spiritual. It has to come from a deeper level of the of the heart. So therefore, when we go to such teachers, my dear people, we should learn to be submissive. We should learn to give respect. We should learn to give service. We should try to please and follow their instructions. Because only when we are in this mode will we be able to benefit from their austerities. What is this? This is a glass full of water, and this is a container which is empty. How will the full glass come into the empty container? It only happens if the empty container is put under the glass, if it submits itself to the glass. The glass has to be superior. then, oh, I don't want to make a, I can't guarantee that this will not ruin our call, but if you forget everything, then you should remember this. Yes, it worked, to some degree at least. When you need to submit, you need to pay respect, you need to serve. If you want to have what is realized, the realization in the sadhu, if you want to have that in your heart. Otherwise, just like water only flies from up to down, in the same way, this will only work in this direction. When you look for a teacher, there are three things which you need to know. He needs to know you to some degree, or needs to know what you are going through, the level of consciousness. He needs to also love you, have some interest in you. And he further needs to help you. These are real friends. You know, there are three levels of friends, but to make it short, the well-wishing friend, he wants to always help you. He wants to only be active for your benefit. The ultimate well-wishing friend is, of course, Krishna. He accompanies us even in the forms of a, through all life forms, and he only has this one interest. He wants to help us. So find someone who knows you. This make deep friendship with someone who knows you. Someone who loves you as you are. Sometimes we have friends and we think, oh, if he really finds out what I am, he will not like me any longer. That's not a real friendship. He should know you and he should love you. And he should be able to help you. And the teacher should be like this. When we come into a stage in our life where we have real questions, where we look for meaning and purpose, and we want to go to something which lies in the future, the right association and consequently the right type of guidance is of crucial importance. Crucial. Crucial means absolutely necessary. I want you now to take a moment time. Sit straight wherever you are. And remember how a senior devotee gave you guidance. Remember a moment where you had really an association with a guide who said something that was absolutely impactful for your spiritual life. Thank you. I don't know how this worked for you, because this is, you know, before a computer. But I was surprised that at the moment where I tried to recall something, I had not prepared any thought, something rose to the surface of my mind and I became really attentive for it. If you have not yet seen such a, how do you say, experience, I urge you to try one of two things. Now it's COVID situation and our movements are restricted, so I suggest that you listen to lectures of either your spiritual master or people whom you consider guides in your life, and you just listen with that eagerness to learn something. And you will most probably see that from the deep realizations of these people, something comes into your heart. Because remember, it's not through the mind and the ear that you own. Let me say, these people don't just speak from the with the words and with the thoughts. It's from a deeper place. It can be very impactful. I listened to Srila Prabhupada's lecture naturally, and I remember I was once after a traumatic surgery, not very able to move very swiftly. I was very bad health. I doubted I would ever come out of that hole. And I remember I forced myself to walk, and I listened to lectures while I walked. And all of a sudden, I remember, I hear this one sentence from Prabhupada: "What do you do for eternity?" And I thought, well, at the moment I'm just trying to get my body together. But I replayed it, and again I listened. What do you do for eternity, for eternal life? And then I rewound it again, and I listened to it again, and I got so much motivation, and my health had to follow me because I was somewhere else. Now, let me go on. Associating with sadhus that are peers. When you are with peers, one of two things can happen. You get triggered. Sometimes the worst version of yourself gets triggered. That's when you do not associate on the spiritual platform. It is said when you want to make nice raw diamonds, you know, sparkling, you put them in a bag and you keep them in a bag and you put them in your trousers, the pocket in the trousers, and they will rub each other. And if they are together like this for 1 year, and you take one raw diamond, it's usually already sparkling because it rubs off all the things. So if you want people to change, put them together and they will rub at each other. And that's sometimes very, very disturbing because of the law of resonance. You know, you resonate with certain, you are on this level, and then you will resonate on a person with a person who's exactly on the same level and brings out what is in you, and sometimes it's not good. But a proper association can happen if you learn to associate in the proper way. Narada Muni says you can avoid all material miseries if you just learn to associate with people in these three ways. First of all, rejoice when meeting a person who is more qualified. Normally, what do we do when we meet a person who is more qualified? We become envious. Why here? I'm also very qualified. No, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, rejoice, be happy. These qualities that that person has bring joy to Krishna. It's not about you. You are only a little bracket in the universe called the false ego. You know, when you meet someone who is more qualified, wow, you can learn from him. Wow, he pleases Krishna more than you. Rejoice. Don't envy. When you meet someone who is in distress and who is maybe in an inferior situation of you, then you show compassion to that person. Do not show contempt. Oh, he deserves what he got. And now about peers. When you meet someone who is on your level, develop friendship and do not compete to try to be better. Oh, I want to do better. I'm also a little intelligent. I can also. We often, when we meet, the materialistic function of the brain is when we meet someone who's there on our level, we think, just a little bit more pushing on my side and then I'm on top of him. No. If you can learn this, says Narada Muni, you avoid all misery. When you meet a person who is more qualified, then what should you do? Yes, I can hear it. Rejoice. And what should you not do?
Not envy.
When you meet someone who is in distress or inferior to you, what should you do?
Show compassion.
Exactly. And what should you avoid?
Contempt.
You know everything. When you meet a person who is on an equal level, what should you do?
Friendship.
You know everything. And what should you avoid?
Don't compete.
Yes, correct. Dayaguranga unmuted you very, very expertly. My dear devotees, this is called, in some branches of psychology, reverse thinking. The understanding is the mind can be only in one mode. So when you find yourself harassed by thoughts which are negative in the sadhu sangha, in the association with others, you need to put another image in your mind. Let me be very clear. When you see someone and you are envious, you register envy, then put another picture in the mind, because there can be only one picture. Be genuinely happy for their success and advancement. When you see someone who gets on your nerves, I think that is very common in big towns, New Jersey, London, New York, and you get a little bit angry, you should work towards forgiveness. And then you will be free from misery. When you see someone who is harsh towards you and offensive, don't deal in the same way with them. Try to be understanding and see things from the other's perspective. When you are intolerant, try to come to the place of tolerance. This is not positive thinking, but it is reverse thinking. At least that's how I call it. And I saw it in some psychology thing. Because you don't want your mind to act in tamas and rajas. Or you want your mind to go to sattva. And therefore, associate with a sattvic thought, and you will all of a sudden become also sattvic in your life. So, there are so many things here, but I want to do an exercise with you now. I want to take you to an exercise how you can deal with people in a way that Krishna manifests in your association. For this you will need to apply four things. These four things I will request you to practice throughout the coming week. I will send to Dayagoranga and the other hosts a practice sheet so that you can practice. But first of all, you need to know, when I'm associating with someone, there is a space between me and him. I'm here talking to you today from the apartment of two wonderful devotees who are working as coaches. Their names are Tushta Krishna and Mangala, and they both sit before me on the other side of the camera. So if I want to associate with them, there is a space. It's now 3.15 meters, I would say, to Tushta Krishna. And a little, his wife is sitting a little bit more back, so maybe 3.22 meters. So there is a space, but there is also another space between me and Tushta Krishna. That space is something which is at the moment empty, but I can fill it with something. Do you follow? A space is something which you can fill, right? Dayaguranga, I'm always seeing you, so you're my all and everything during these calls. You are in your office, and it's a space, and we could put some attractive photo there, and we could put an altar there, and a piano, because you must be musically talented, and we could fill the space. So in relationships, there is also a space, and I can fill it. And according to how I fill the space in our Sangha, the Sangha will turn in one way or another. So what you need for Sadhu Sangha, which you will do from the sacred space of your heart, from that level of consciousness where you act in relationship, you will first of all acknowledge in the other person's heart is also Krishna. In my heart is Krishna, in the other person's heart is also Krishna. How can I ignore this? How can I forget it when Krishna is Krishna? So, my first thing which I put in the space between, which is there in our relationship between us, Krishna is in his heart. Then, when I talk to him, I should listen attentively. And here comes the art. Listen to what the other person says and listen to what he does not say. I will tell you a story. Once there was a married man who was very frustrated with the way his relationship went to his wife. And he went to a monk and said, "What can I do? We like each other on a deeper level, but we always quarrel. What should I do?" The monk said, "Go home and listen to her. Listen to what she says to you." So the man went home, listened to what his wife said to him, and came back after 1 week more frustrated. "We still quarrel. I'm listening exactly to what she says to me, but we still quarrel." And the monk said, "Good. Listen to what she says, and listen to also to what she does not say." So when I want to speak, when I want to create a good space between me and other people in sadhu sangha, I have to listen attentively. The third thing, I have to be their well-wisher. Prabhupada would always sign "your eternal well-wisher." And Krishna, in this book, Gopal Champu, he explains how the devotees should be. Krishna spoke with a smile to his friend. "Please listen," he said. "The trees are glorified not only for their limbs, you know, branches and all, but also for their qualities. Their quality is they protect all living beings by giving them shade that extinguishes the heat in their bodies." These trees, Krishna said to his friends, are the real devotees, because they are well-wishers of others. So when you approach sadhu sangha, you should always want well. You should always want that in this association which we have, the other should be enriched. You will see, once you address a relationship not what can I, with, from the perspective, what can I get from him or her or them, but what can I give to them? How can I help them? This will be very good. And the last is share with them something. So we will make now an exercise where you will learn this. Creating a space between the other in sadhu sangha and filling that space with Krishna. It's something which I regularly do. I want you to take a few deep breaths. When you breathe in, know that you breathe in. And as you breathe out, know that you breathe out. Now in your mind, invite a person with whom you want to have some association. It's easy to invite a good friend. You're sitting on your chair or on your spot, on the floor, wherever you are. You are now inviting another person who sits before you. I will invite my assistant Gokrishna. No, he is in the room, so I will invite the cook of our ashram. Whom do you invite? No need to say. You can just invite someone. Before you open the conversation, remember that Krishna is also in his or her heart. Remember that your friend whom you have invited is Krishna in the heart. Now, in your mind's eye, ask the person, is there anything you would like to say to me? Anything that you would like to share about your life with me? And in your mind, listen carefully to whatever it is the person with whom you are sitting in this exercise tells you. The last step, share now something with that person that you wish to share with them. Do this in the mood of a well-wisher. A shade-giving tree, if you so want. Hari Hari Bo. I see. Yes. This you can do in your private time. It's an exercise which I would suggest to you. It's something which you also do in in real life. You don't have to do it in meditation if you have the people right before you. When you meet someone, you want to have sadhu sangha, proper association that brings Krishna to you. At that time, my dear listeners, first, bring Krishna. Second, ask them a question or give them the space where you listen to them. The third is take on the welfare mood and share with them something which is good for their own lives. That will be very, very good for you in your sadhu sangha. That is what it means to act from the spiritual platform. Krishna is there. The person is a part of Krishna. Krishna is in his heart. The second is listen. You know, how is it say? Ask questions and listen confidentially. No, listen. And the third is, please share as a well-wisher. Share about the things that matter most. Share. And as you fill this room of the relationship with these things, it will become radiant and blissful. 100%. Good, my dear listeners. I have... I will say something at the end of this session. I will give you some exercises that you three exercises for your next week, where you can practice sadhu sangha. But I want to first now see if there are any questions which you would like to ask at this time. So we remember, please somehow Dayal Gauranga will unmute you. And then we hear the question directly.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Actually, people have been sending me that they want to ask questions, so I will call on people. I just want to make an announcement that if there's anyone on here who wants to buy Satchinandan Swami's many books or CDs, and they are in Australia or India, for example, because we have listeners from there and they don't know how to do it, please send me a private chat and I'll give you the email of the devotees there who can do it. Otherwise, later on, I'll show websites where you can buy it in Europe or in America. So with that, I'm going to call on Manasi Ganga Devi from New Jersey to ask the first question, after which it will be Mukunda and Shruti Prabhu from Chicago. Manasi Ganga, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, Rishila Prabhupada, or the Mystery of Maharaj. My question is, in the example that we discussed of the diamond, in the bag of diamonds, where we place diamonds, or so to speak, devotees together, and after some time they become polished, isn't there a risk that some devotees may not be able to handle this friction and may leave? What is the appropriate course of action we should follow in this regard?
Thank you. Yes, there is right association and wrong association. In the right association, which will really bring out the best in devotees and not crush them, so to say, you need to see that the association is on the spiritual platform. It cannot be on the material platform. You have to, and how to lead, how to have association on the spiritual platform is very nicely described by Rupa Goswami. He says, we must give gifts and receive gifts. Now, you may have thought, well, this refers to gifts like a good clock or a glass of a new material thing. No, gifts is also kindness. Immaterial, they are immaterial gifts. Kindness, time, very important time. And this, what I said earlier as being a well-wisher, like a tree. Krishna says the trees are real devotees. They are always served with shade and fruits and everything. Also, I know all the accidents which have happened in temples, in sanghas, are because of wrong association. And therefore, sangha is described as samyak rupena. You have to have the proper association where the inclination is arisen to serve Krishna. Now, you can't enforce that. You can't tell a temple, every one of you has to have proper association, because everyone will associate on the level they are. But at least these principles of Sangha, some of which we have heard about today, should be applied in our own private association. You should do it, and then there will be a change after some time. There is a poem. The poem goes like this. The sun said in the evening, "Listen, everybody, I have to go to the other hemisphere. It will become very dark. No one will be able to see anything. Is there anyone who's ready to shed some light into the darkness?" And the creation remained silent. The sun repeated, "Listen, I'm going, I have to go to the eastern hemisphere now. But there needs to be someone who just gives a little light." Then a very hesitating voice came. It was a little candle. It said, I give light. "Oh," said the sun, "okay, then I return next morning." We may be little candles, but we should shed light in the association. We should do it properly. And Krishna will see, and then he will be there and give the real help. Hare Krishna. Who's next?
Is devotees from Chicago, Mukunda and Shruti. Mukunda Prabhu, you might have two devices logged on next to each other. That's probably why you're getting that echo. So we'll come back to you, but I'm going to go next to Akash Verma from Kolkata, India. Akash Prabhu, can you ask your question, please?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for your wonderful class, Maharaj. Maharaj, I have one question. Maharaj, how have you been able to keep giving so much to others for so many years? Although from the other side, no reciprocation may come, rather criticism may come. How did you get so much mental strength to tolerate that and still keep giving without burnout?
Thank you. A man who is well fed can invite others to eat. But someone who is hungry cannot invite others to eat especially when the others are not always responding nicely. So the basis of being able to take care of others and inspire others is that you yourself are well nourished in spiritual life. And then you are satiated and happy wherever you go. You are not dependent on outside reactions. Just imagine Srila Prabhupada, you know, going to the West and doing the impossible in his mature old age as to make an international movement. How much Srila Prabhupada must have Krishna consciousness inside to not become discouraged, to not become demotivated. So nourish yourself, Akash, and then invite others to eat. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. So we'll go back to Mukunda and Shruti Prabhu from Chicago, and then I will call on Elena D.
I suggest, Yashoda Dulal, that they type their question to you and then you read it out to me, because there may be some computer difficulty.
Yeah, I don't have his question, so he can type it to me, but we'll go to Elena next and then I can ask his question.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, thank you so much. I had a question about listening to someone that a person does not say. I don't know exactly what it means and how to do it.
Haha. Yes, I understand. See, when a person talks to you, he will speak things and express things. But behind what he says, there may be those things that are unexpressed, that he does not talk about. For instance, someone may be a little bit, let us say, he may say to you, "Oh, I'm tired." Then go to bed, you will say. Oh yes, then he goes to bed, but the next day he comes to you again. Oh, and you ask, "How are you doing?" And he will say, "I'm still tired." Then you must ask yourself, what is he not talking about? Maybe he is hungry, and therefore he feels no energy. So you have to find out what it is that they are not expressing. I have given a very simple example, which is maybe too simplistic and doesn't hit the nail on the head. There is a traditional example where, you know, sometimes devotees, you ask, "How are you doing? Is everything good?" And they say, "Fine, fine, 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 fine." But you find out they are avoiding you, maybe. So then you have to find out, why are they avoiding you? Why are they saying, "Fine, fine, fine," but why are they avoiding you? I know in London, people will say one thing, but they think another thing. So you always have to think, what are they thinking that they are not expressing? That is something which is an art which comes over the years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. So there's a question to me privately from Sonam Sharma in Canada.
Wow.
Sometimes we develop relationships with devotees, but over time, familiarity become casual relationships, and then we might end up committing Vaishnava Aparadha. How do we keep a check on this? In other words, how do we avoid familiarity from creeping into our Vaishnava relationships?
Thank you very much. See, in any relationships, Vaishnava relationships, there are investments and there are withdrawals. It's almost like a bank account. You give something into the bank account and the account grows, but you take also something out of the bank account and the amount goes down. This is there in all relationships. You can't avoid it. Like in our ashram, you know, I was needing to go to the bathroom in the down bathroom, but it was occupied. And I said, "How long?" And the voice came out, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Then I came back after 10 minutes and this was still occupied. And I felt, oh no. And this was a withdrawal by the person. But the person is so nice. He has given so many investments in our relationship that is not... There is no problem. But imagine someone has never invested anything in the relationship, has never said anything, has never ever given you attention and kindness. When you come two times to the bathroom and it is closed, you would say, "This person hates me." So in all relationships, always see that the investments are more than the withdrawals.
Thank you, Maharaj. So the question that Mukunda and Shruti Prabhu's had from Chicago was how to avoid competing with peers while trying to get the Sangha of senior devotees. So the Sangha of senior devotees is very rare, but there are many people trying to do it, and there might be many peers who are trying to get that Sangha. So how to avoid that competition while at the same time not being envious of senior devotees?
What a realistic question, isn't it, Yashoda Dulala? Yes. Usually I remember when it was time to go with Srila Prabhupada on the morning walk amongst us God brothers. Oh, we would really do everything to get on that morning walk and in this way compete. So when you want to have association with someone who is more advanced than you and you see there's a long queue before him, then you might feel envious, or you might feel you want to jump the queue. That is, I think, a normal. Just don't do anything which harms another person. That should be the motive. You should see that you never harm anyone. That is the highest principle by which you live a dharmic life, to never harm anyone. The Mahabharata says this, above all others, dharmic rules is the ahimsa, non-harming. I would say like this, it may be too high of an expectation to say then you give them your spot, that would be the ideal, but I don't think that will work, nor is it maybe intelligent here. Don't cross people. Don't harm them like this. Yes, we will be able to take one more question, but then we have to finish. Please ask your question.
Okay, so this is a question from Radha Krishna Prabhu. He wanted me to ask you, you said we should not judge devotees by what they appear externally, but look at their inclinations. However, at times, we may not know what is the inclination of a devotee behind his or her actions or words. So how do we understand what their inclinations or motives are?
You have to see their actions. There's a very famous story about the Chinggis Khan, the most powerful emperor in the world, who once was out hunting, and then he got separated from his other men. They had been out the whole day and he was very thirsty, so he came to a small little waterfall, and he was holding his glass under the waterfall so that he would get some fresh water. But then he saw how his falcon came right from the sky and hit the water glass filled with water out of his hand. Chinggis Khan said, never do this again. So he again took the water glass, held it under the waterfall, and had in his other hand his sword. Again, when the water glass was full and he just wanted to drink, the falcon came back and hit his hand so that the water glass fell again on the ground. This time the Chinggis Khan took his sword and hacked the head of the falcon away. Then he wanted to drink, finally, but something told him, let me just climb up the the rock here and find out about this water. And he climbed up and he saw there in the upper part of the rock a little pool of water, and inside was a poisonous snake where the poison came out of the tooth. If he would have drunken that water, it was poisoned by the snake, he would have died. So this shows that you have to watch a person to see what is his inclination. I mean, most of the time it's clear, but I'm thinking now of when it's not clear. I know that Srila Prabhupada often chastised his disciples, chastised. And some of his disciples thought, oh, he doesn't like us. But then Prabhupada showed in other situations that he had chastised only to prevent the disciple from doing harm. So his inclination was different than his words. Yes. Good. My dear listeners, my dear everyone, it was a genuine pleasure to be with you, really. Because I feel this very positive energy. I want to close the session now. Please listen extremely careful to what I say now. I will give you a very brief summary. Proper sadhu sangha means you associate in such a way that your material life comes to an end. No? Your material existence comes to the end. And to this, you need to learn to create a space between the person who is a devotee, which you fill with the idea that Krishna is there in his heart, and you want to help that other person to move towards Krishna. You listen very carefully, and you then speak and act for the welfare of the other person. Then you will have Krishna will manifest in the association. I have given you a little summary which will appear on the, I think, where? On the Facebook page. It's a summary, and I have also given you three exercises for the week. I request you to do them. Please do not, this is a seminar, it's not really a lecture. It's something where you can learn something new, which you didn't know before. The first exercise will be that you practice Rupa Goswami's instructions for proper association. The second exercise will be how to have proper sadhu sangha. Yes, that will be given to you. Now, before we all go, please, we need to just listen to Dayal Gaurangaji, our co-host. We have two very qualified hosts for this. I'm so honored and so grateful